Are you surprised? Yeah, me too. Amen. God, is he not? Amen. It's awesome. Well, it's an honor to be with you this morning. And I want to thank Pastor Philip and Mama Alberta for this opportunity. I'm just grateful for Pastor and Mama and their faithfulness, their diligence, and their commitment to God and the vision that God has given them, and we are a big part of that. Amen. So I am honored. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mama, for this opportunity. If you would, I would like for you to go to Psalms 34 and also to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. So what I want to talk to you about today, I want to give you a little faith shot. We're taught to live this life of faith. Like I said last time I ministered, I have chosen the path of faith. Many turn aside the life of faith and decide they can't do it, right? Because it's a choice, and you have to choose that choice every day. The Bible says choose life, right? And it's something that we make that choice and that decision that we are going to live this life of faith, that we're going to have all that God has for us. We're going to do all that he wants us to do. Amen. But we also have an enemy. Now, he's defeated. Amen. Does that mean he's going to stop leaving you alone? No. What's he going to do? He's going to try to hinder. And I like what Pastor was mentioning on Friday. If you haven't heard the message, it was awesome. But he's a scam artist. And the whole purpose of a scammer is to rob from you. They want to take what you got and use it for themselves. Amen. But that's what the devil does. He's a scammer. He wants to come and kill, steal, and destroy. Kill the word, steal hope, and destroy your faith. But we're not ignorant of his devices. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Are you all in Psalms 34, verse 12 through 14? If you don't have this translation, I know upstairs they will put it up on the screen because I'm not going to read it in the King James. 1 Peter chapter 3, I will read in King James, and I'm sure they will put it up on the screen for us. This is the NCB. It says, come, my children. Are you all children? God's children? Yes. And it says, and what? Listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now, what's the fear of the Lord? Cautious respect for God and his ways. Who among you delights in life and desires many years to enjoy prosperity? Can anybody say I? Can anybody agree to that? Then keep your what? What's it say? They didn't put it up there. Then keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Evil is anything that doesn't please God. Amen? And lies is anything against the word, right? Because we know that the word is truth. So if we want to live a long, prosperous life, then right here, is where the scammer is going to try to scam you. Where's faith? And sometimes. So faith has to be in your heart and in your mouth all the time. Not sometime. It has to be all the time. However, you can't speak fear, doubt, unbelief, discouragement. You can't speak that and be in faith. Because faith doesn't talk that way. Right? Okay, y'all, in 1 Peter, they'll put it up on the screen, 3 verse 10. It says, to love life, if you want to love life and see good days, then let him restrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. This is in 1 Peter, and it's also in Psalms, I think, chapter 34. So it says to restrain. What I want to talk to you about tonight is a restraining order. Right here. A restraining order. See, the devil, he would love to shut you up. If you're sometimes if you're going through a situation or a circumstance or a challenge, whatever the case may be, he wants you to get into this little isolation off to yourself and then just not say anything. Right? We know to speak to the mountain. We know that the spirit of faith speaks. Correct? That's what faith is. Faith is an act, and faith also speaks. So if he can't get you not saying anything, he's going to get you to say the wrong thing. It will hinder your faith. You are not going to live the life of prosperity to the abundance. God is a merciful God. Praise the Lord. But this, Pastor Liz, talk about miracles. There's a miracle actually in your mouth. There is power in your mouth. Like Pastor Phillips says, there is power in your mouth all the time. Not just some of the time, not some days, not on Sunday, not on Wednesday or Friday. It is Monday through Sunday. There is power in your mouth. It's either working for you or it's a working against you. Life and death is where? In the power of the tongue. But we're going to get a restraining order. We have to. Because God wants to be able to trust us. We have to know, even for ourselves, that when we lay hands on someone, when we pray for someone, when we speak and decree over someone, that you can trust that your mouth is that the speaker, that power is flowing through your mouth. But if we're speaking, it says to speak no evil or guile or no lies, another anything against the truth. If he can get you talking that way, it will hinder the abundance, the life that God wants for us. Amen? I want to point this out because I was talking about if the devil can't shut you up and get you not to say anything. Because he tries to do that. I mean, he's tried it with me. Hello? I don't want to speak the word. I don't want to speak to that mountain. Are you kidding me? But I'm going to, right? That's where don't go there, but Hebrews 23, and they can put it up on the screen, says, let us hold fast to the profession or confession of our faith without wavering. How do you waver? One day you're speaking faith, and the next day you're not. Because our mouth is powerful. God, there's a miracle that can flow through our mouth, not just for us only, but what Pastor Liz is saying, there are souls, there's people. There's connections, and it all flows through our mouth. It says to hold fast to your confession. How are you going to be holding fast to the word of truth? You have to hold fast. That tells me this is serious. Holding fast to your confession of faith. We can't just say whatever we want to say. I'm going to get into it here in a minute, but I'm trying to behave. Are you all in James? I'm going to behave, Pastor Liz. But if her anointing comes on me, who knows? Hello? She's in charge today. No, the defeated devil wants to scam you into saying the wrong things. He started in the garden, and nothing has changed. Now, James chapter 1, verse 26 says, if any man among you seems to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but he deceives his own heart. Now, wait a minute. Now, where's faith? But if your tongue doesn't have a restraining order, the devil's not deceiving your heart. You're deceiving your own heart. This is where faith is. See, deception, that's what happened in the garden. Eve was deceived. Yes. Happened in the Garden of Eden. She was deceived. If we don't have a restraining order, right here. Let's look at this. If you all would put that up on the screen for me, the NCB translation, please, of this verse. If anyone thinks that he is religious but does not what?
Restrain.
Restraining order. Satan, I got a restraining order against you. You will not deceive me. He is deceiving himself. And his religion is worthless. Okay, let's look at this in the WE translation. It says, some of you think that you're doing what God wants. Do you think you're doing what God wants? I think I am. Do you think you're doing what God wants? Whether it's your job, whether it's your ministry, whether it's your this is your church, do you think you're doing what God wants? But you are not careful what you say. If you're like that, then you're fooling yourself. And you are not doing what God wants. I want to do what God wants. I want to please God in every single area of my life. But I also know if I don't get that restraining order on this right here, then I'm not going to have the fullness of what God has called me to. God has to trust me here. And you have to know that you can do this. Let's just define restrain. It means to withhold. It means to hold back. It means to keep in check and refrain. This is strain, restrain. To withhold, hold back, keep in check, and refrain. So we all think that we're doing what God wants us to do, right? Then if we're not refraining, if we don't have a refraining order on this right here, then we're not doing what he wants. I mean, that's an eye-opener for me. So anyway, God gave me an acronym, DEEP. D-E-E-P, DEEP. We're going to look at this, okay? Let's. The D is for diligence. Now, we have to guard our heart with what? Where's faith? A lot of people don't like that word diligence, but I like it. It helps me. It's part of being odd. If you want to be odd and you want to stand out and you want to be all that God's called you to be, then you've got to be diligent. Because the adversary's diligent. He's like a roaring lion walking about, seeing whom he may devour. How is he going to devour someone? Words. What are you saying? What have you got out there? God works through words, but guess what? The scammer does too. He works through words. Now, diligence, we'll put it up on the screen. It's a constant, earnest, and persistent effort to accomplish what is undertaken. So this isn't something that is light. Now, we know his call is light and easy, but this isn't a light thing. This is something that we have to be diligent about. We have to be consistent. We have, like David said, I put a guard over my mouth. In other words, a bodyguard is not going to let anybody get close to that person, right? They're guarding. We have to guard what goes in our mouth, and we have to guard what goes out. Which is serious. Now, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27, and we'll look at this in the Amplified. It says, he who has knowledge restrains and is careful with his words. And a man of understanding and wisdom has a cool spirit. You want to be cool? Now, I'm not talking about wearing shirts off of your shoulder or one tucked in and one not trying to look cool, you know, because that's what the world does. The way they dress to be cool, do they not? Uh-uh. When it comes to God, who has knowledge restrains. They have a restraining order on this right here and is careful with his words That's what makes a man of understanding and wisdom has a cool spirit. That's cool. That is cool. When you are diligent to watch over what comes in and what comes out, that's being cool. We cool. Are we cool? Are we cool right now? I'm just checking. Y'all been real quiet. Got a cool spirit? Amen. Doing a miracle. Glory to God. Restraint must be developed and practiced with diligence. We have to be on it. We can't act like it's not important. But for our destiny and for what Pastor's vision for this church and us, it is so important. Even in our own personal lives, is staying on top of it, right? You must be skillful in your speech. No one becomes skillful at anything overnight. Hello? Does anybody become skillful on an instrument or music or a job or whatever it is? Does that happen overnight? But it happens. And it can happen. And you can be skillful in it. But it will take diligence to reach the highest potential. Maturity, you must stay consistent with this. Amen? We should, okay. At home is our learning ground as well as here, right? We're at home. We're together. We should not be a different person at home than when we come in here on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Fridays. Now, we talk like this at church. We know how to talk faith. We know the Christianese when we're around our brothers and sisters in the Lord. But the true test is when you're at home. There should be a whole lot of thank you between you and your spouse, between you and your children's. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's your password. This is what gives you access to the fullness of God is thank you. Two words. It's so easy, so simple. And it's powerful. When somebody does something for me and I'm like, or I do something for them and they say, thank you, Debbie. Ed does it all the time. I say, thank you, honey. Thank you. Thank you. I'm establishing something. I'm establishing an atmosphere in my home. It shouldn't be full of strife. It shouldn't be just saying whatever. We're at home. We can just say whatever, talk to each other any old way we want to. Disrespect? Please. No. Mm-mm. The scammer. The scammer. He's just waiting. So diligence is we're going to acquire daily putting the word into your heart. Then you will be able to restrain. We have to have that restraining order. And putting the word of God into our heart. Because the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the what? I've heard people say, well, I wasn't sure where that came from. I did. Because if you're going to watch Facebook, TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, and all the other things that's out there, there's a good purpose for it, and you can use that for a good reason. But people get caught up in that, and their eyes are drawn to that, and they're just in video games and all this stuff, that there's just access to all kinds of stuff, all kinds of stuff. Every time your eyes and your ears are gates down to your heart. So we have to guard that. Putting the word in. The word should be first choice. Amen? Amen. Well, that's the D. D for Debbie. Hello? Diligence. It's an awesome word. Amen? Go with me to Psalms 131, verse 1. In order to grow and be mature in this, and we are going to be mature in the restraining order, is exercise. Psalms 31:1, it says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, and neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Now, this is a biggie right here. Now, we know it takes exercise, Willie will tell you that, to develop and strengthen your physical body. Exercise is a requirement. It's not going to work without it. Amen. You can't pop a pill and you have all these muscles. Like they want to tell you on TV. You just pop a pill, you're going to be looking like Willie. Well, that ain't going to happen. Amen. Likewise, you must exercise this restraining order to become skillful. Now, I want you to look at this verse real close. It says, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. You can't just say anything you want about any situation or anyone. Some things are just too high for me, and some things are just too lofty for me. Because this is a trap of the enemy. We're redeemed from giving our opinions about things. You know what I think? No. Opinions. You don't have to have an opinion. When somebody asks your opinion on something, you don't have to have an opinion. And I'm not talking about life and, you know, each other, you know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where the enemy can come in. Because things are too high. Things are too lofty. I'm not going to have all these opinions about how Pastor Eric should do his music. Why? That's too lofty for me. You know what I'm saying? That sounds crazy because I'm talking about him, but the devil tries to do that with people in the church or the people you work with. Well, I think this, and I can't believe they did that, and why would they say that, and why would they do that? That's an opinion, and you know what an opinion is? It's a thought of someone that is not in authority. Because if you were in authority, you'd be able to make a decision. If you were in authority, you would be able to make a decision. It's just an opinion. And you know what? Faith is in our heart. And you know what? It's polluting that soil in your heart every time you have an opinion about something that's too high and things that are too lofty. But you know what I think about this? You know what I think about that? You know what I think Coach Cal should do? Well, he's not here now. You know what I think? You know why the team's losing? I mean, that sounds radical, but that's how the devil does. That's what he does with you, with other people. Because see why? Right here. You can choose mercy over an opinion. Decide not to have an opinion. You can tell when somebody's asking something that's trying to provoke you. And I'm talking about in the workplace or wherever. You can tell when somebody's trying to provoke you into saying something. You don't have to have an opinion. You don't have to answer everybody. You know what? I'm not going to have an opinion in that situation. Because I want my days to be what? Desire many years and to enjoy prosperity. That's what I want. Things too high, things too lofty. Mm-mm-mm. You can't talk about things that don't concern you. In other words, things that aren't any of our business. Things that aren't my business, I ain't going to talk about. You know why? Because I am about my Father's business. Hello. See, this is the thing. Ed and I are walking out destiny, right? Pastor X walking out destiny. Pastor Liz is walking out destiny. We're walking in a miracle. And what's the devil want to do? He wants to get you distracted. Somebody's doing this. Somebody's doing that. Did you hear about this? No, I don't want to hear about that. Talk to the hand. No. No, no, because I'm walking in a miracle and I refuse to get distracted because none of that's important. None of that is important. Complaining, yes. Complaining, hello, will rob you from what God has promised you. Complaining. It's a bad habit of the flesh. Numbers chapter 1, go ahead and put that up on the screen. You all know the story about the children of Israel. Did they enter into the promised land? Did they have many years and enjoy prosperity? Why not? Well, they didn't have a restraining order. I'm not saying there's not going to be opportunities for situations. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying there's not going to be opportunities to complain about something. Or when Pastor told me to preach, you know what I'm saying? I laughed and I was like, "You're kidding." And he was like, "No, I'm not." And I'm like, "Oh, well," I heard Mama laughing in the background. He said, "No, she's laughing at you." I said, "Oh, okay." Okay, so today's Friday and I'm working church Friday night, and Saturday I'm working, and you know, my soul was on tilt. You know what? I didn't just freak out and start saying all this kind of stuff. I said, "God, your grace is sufficient." It wasn't my idea to preach today. Hello? It was God's idea. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not going to complain about that. I'm not going to speak negative. If Pastor calls and says you're preaching tonight, then that means God chose me for such a time as this. And I'm going to step into God's grace and mercy, and I'm just going to seek God for a word, and it's going to be awesome. Amen? Amen? The devil would love for me to say something. Well, I can't do that. I can't. See, he really wants you to say things about yourself. Well, I'll never be like Pastor. I'll never hear God like Pastor. I'll never do this. I'll never do that. Who says? That's not what the word says. You are speaking lies. You're speaking lies. Those are lies. Because with God, all things are possible. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But that has to be coming out of your mouth. That has to be coming out of your mouth. Because faith is in your mouth and in your heart. And we really think our faith is working when we are saying negative things over ourselves, when we have all these opinions about everybody else and what they're doing. What? Let's go back. Who among you delights in life and desires many years to enjoy prosperity? Then keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Anything against the truth. Saying anything about anybody is not okay. I'm determined not to know anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all I want to know. Talk to me about Jesus Christ and Him crucified and we be good. Are we good? We good. Are we cool? Yes. Why? Because I got a restraining order right here. And Ed and I will keep each other in check at home. This is how you grow. This is called exercise. I don't beat him down if he says something wrong. He doesn't beat me down. We catch each other and then we repent. Honey, do you really feel like you need to go there? No. Lord, I thank you for that restraining. I do it to myself. We do it. I'm exercising. And it's okay if you've missed it. Hello, who hasn't? Come on. We've all missed it in this area. Why? Because we all talk. It's a way of life, is it not? We have a mouth. We richly enjoy talking. I do. I like talking to my friends. I do. This is what we do. But Ed and I catch each other. That's what's going on in our home and our house at home, right? We keep each other in check. Hey, honey, you know, there's a flow going. Okay, I'm gonna cut that thing off. Because it's dangerous. It's dangerous. Now, Numbers chapter 1, I'm sorry, I didn't go there, but they did put it up. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And God heard it. Do you know that God hears everything you say? Jesus said, "I know that the Father hears me." He knew that God heard him when he prayed for Lazarus. He said, "I know God hears me." God hears every single word that we say. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. If you guys will put that back up there, there's something at the bottom. Now, on the Power Bible, which I study on a lot, where it has complained, it had a little footnote, and it says, as it were complainers. In other words, you could drive a truck, but there's a difference between driving a truck and being a truck driver. Right. This is what you do. This is your lifestyle. So they it wasn't something they did every now and then. They were complainers. It was a profession. They were good at it. It was a profession. They were professional complainers. Have you ever been around anybody that complains all the time? I have. It tries to suck the life out of you. I mean, it does. And it will, I have certain clients. I ain't going to mention no names. Hello. But I know when they're coming in, and I know, God, your grace is sufficient, because I want to smack them. But you can feel it, you can feel that life. Why? Because when you water, yourself is getting watered. But when they're not receiving, they're not drawing on that well that's within you. It's just like a leech just sucking the life out of you. I put up this wall, be like, bless God, no, not today, baby. No, I came in full, I'm leaving full. Hello. But complainers. The children of Israel were complainers, Pastor Liz. They complained about everything. They were professionals. But they didn't enter in. They didn't enter in into the promised land. Is this making sense? Faith. Psalm 73, verse 1. If y'all want to go there. Psalm 77, verse 3. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. I'm just so overwhelmed. Hello. Wait a minute. Has there been a restraining order on this right here? Because the complaining will probably have a whole lot to do with you feeling like you are overwhelmed. Life, things in life, jobs, children, responsibilities, right? But if you go back and look and you really just search it out, you're going to find out that somebody has really been saying a whole lot of complaining. Because there's nothing that we are called to do that God's grace is not sufficient. It's the grace of God and His mercy. The miracle power of God's love and His grace will see us through anything. But if we are saying things right here and left no restraining order on this right here, then yes, you're going to be overwhelmed. I don't want to be overwhelmed. I do with the blessing. Amen. I'll take the blessing. You can overwhelm me, God, with the blessing. Listen, don't talk negative. Don't test positive for being negative. Don't test positive for being negative. We can be positive. Amen. We can say the right thing. If we want to live in that long and many days and have that enjoy the life of prosperity, this is so important because what? Because it's connected with our faith. We think we're doing what God wants, right? But if we don't have a restraining order on this right here, we're not doing what He wants. And I want to please God. And see, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why is He not pleased? Because He knows it's hindering your faith. This isn't little. It's awesome. As you exercise the restraining order of the tongue, you should be missing it less and less. It's okay. This is called exercise. Right. We're exercising. We're getting this thing. We're catching ourselves. As you become diligent, you say, you know what? I'm going to get this. I've missed it in the past, but I'm going to get this. Faith is in my mouth and in my heart, bless God, and I'm going to stay in faith and I'm going to get this. Then this is called exercising it. This is exercising. And as you do it, then you should be missing it less and less. And learn to catch yourself. I want to catch myself before Ed says something to me. Honey, you really want that? No. And he wants to catch himself before I actually say something. You understand what I'm saying? And the more you exercise and the more you recognize, you know what, God? This, what I say on a daily basis, you know, we have how many words a day? 7,000 words like that or something a day? No, if women have 40, it's a whole lot more than that. Four, that's just, Ed has 40. I have 20. But that's okay. You know what? I just dropped my earring. Hallelujah. I'm not going to say anything bad. Praise the Lord. This is a fun day. Today's the day. And my hair's, you know, look at my shirt right there. Ugh. No, I didn't say anything. I wouldn't go, I didn't say anything. But that's okay. Hey. But if we have 40,000 words a day, then what percentage of those words are in line with Scripture? You see what I'm saying? I'm not saying you have to sit around and quote the Bible. Let's be realistic. You understand what I'm saying? But we can carry ourselves and consecrate our mouth to God, you know? And as we exercise this, as we're aware, we become more aware. Watch what God's going to do in your life. This is a game changer. When you miss it, acknowledge it. Ed and I'm telling you, I'm just going to use myself. I'll say, okay, I acknowledge that and I repent. That's strength. That's a strength when you do that. That's not a weakness. You know what, honey? I missed it there. I'm sorry. It'll do the same thing. Honey, I missed it there. I'm sorry. That's showing strength. You're exercising. Amen? Okay. So let's look at the next one. D-E-E. This is experience. Now we're getting into some, we've been doing this. We're diligent. Bless God, and we're exercising this, and we're gonna get some experience. If you will, go with me to Hebrews chapter 5. It's the cycle of faith. You miss it. You recognize that. You catch yourself. You repent. You start over. Hello? You're getting sharper and sharper, a sharp threshing instrument. Amen? Well, we know that life and death are in the power of the tongue, right? And what you say is important. In fact, it's so important that your life is better or worse, life and death, because of the words that you speak. There's power in your mouth. I quoted Pastor earlier, but there's power in your mouth all the time. And to have more power requires more skill. Because Donald's not going to trust Ben to get behind his power machine out there and drive. Because he's not skilled in that area, right? He's not ready for that kind of power. But there will be a day where he will be, right? Now, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 says, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful." That word, in the word of righteousness, he's a babe. Now we grow from faith to faith, strength to strength, from glory to glory, right? But that unskillful, if you look at it in the Greek, it means to have no experience. So babies in Christ are babies. They have no experience. They're babies in the Lord. They're just learning. A baby has to be taught. It has to be changed. It has to be cared for. Why? Because they are unskilled in doing that for themselves. They're unskilled in that. They have no experience, right? But we're determined that we are going to get experience in this area, amen? And we are going to grow up and mature. Okay. So let's go to, are y'all seeing that? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 10 and look at verse 19. It says, when words are many, many words, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains or puts a restraining order on his lips is prudent. That means he's wise. That means he's been diligent. That means he's been exercising this, and it means he now has some experience. See, wisdom just knows what to do. If you're a wise man, you know what to do. Wisdom is just doing what's right. Amen? Now, let's look at this in other translations. The TLB says, 10:19, it says, don't talk so much. You keep putting your foot in your mouth. Be sensible and what? Have you ever just been in a flow? Well, I got to get all this out. You getting it out, but you know what? You getting it in. You putting it right back in. Oh, boy. I got a whole lot I got to say, and I'm just going to get it out. I'll feel a whole lot better when I get it out. You got it out, but you got it back in. That's why all those, you know, that you repeat these programs where they help people come off of alcohol or drugs and all that, they're constantly saying, I'm a drug addict, I'm an alcoholic. They keep saying that. Keep saying that, and they got to talk about all this, and we got to talk about this, and we got to talk about your childhood. And they think they're going to get it all out, and they're going to feel better. No, it just went all back in. That's why they don't ever get free. That's why they can't get free. It's because it's going back in to your heart. Jeez. Turn off the flow. Get the restraining order. Boom. Right? The voice translation. It says, the more you talk, the more likely you will cross the line and say the what? Wrong thing. But if you're wise, you will speak less and what? With restraint. I don't like saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. I want to say the right thing at the right time. But see, this is where experience is. There's wisdom that's taken place. You've been diligent. You've been exercising this. And now you're developing some experience. Amen? And you're getting to be wise, hello, to grow up and mature. Let's go to Numbers chapter 13, please. This is Caleb, Numbers 13:30. And this is Caleb when they were coming back from, God sent them out, 12 of them out, to spy out the land, right? And when they come back, they were telling the people, Caleb was telling the people that the land was flowed with milk and honey, and it was exactly the way God said it was in all this. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and hold your peace. Put a restraining order. I don't want you saying anything right now, but we are going to go up at once, for we are well able. He already said it out of his mouth. We are well able. But did they listen? No. Instead of listening to Caleb, they decided they were wanting to listen to the other 11 spies. That was an evil report, right? See, this is what the enemy wants to do. A lot of us in here, you're founded in the Word. You're grounded in the Word, and you know the Word. We're all at different levels, and that's okay. See, when the enemy brings something, a challenge, just when that came, yes, the land was exactly the way God promised it, right? But there was opposition. But instead of them saying, you know what, we're well able, put a restraining order on there, I would rather not say anything than the wrong thing. That's just me. The Bible says that they murmured. They begin to complain. Complain, you remain. They murmured against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? So because of the evil report, they began to talk evil. And they never entered in and never entered into the promised land that God had so much for them to go in and possess it. So part of skill is recognizing when. See, they should have been able to recognize right there, wait a minute, Caleb said this. So I believe that we're well able to go up at once. Let's just go up at once. Instead of that, they begin to speak wrong. But see, the more you grow in God, the more experience you get, you're going to be able to recognize when it's wrong, no matter what the situation is. I've heard pastors say, if you squeeze a lemon, what are you going to get out of it? What if you squeeze a Christian, what do you get out of it? Whatever has been put in, fear, doubt, whatever they've been talking. See, whatever they're talking, when they're talking, it's getting in here. I don't know that. People may not realize that when you're talking is going into your heart. That's where faith is, and faith is here. I can't be in two places at one time. I'm just being honest, but your faith has to be. It's not an option for you just to come in and get the Word of God into your heart. That's part of it. But to walk in the fullness of faith and be full of faith and power like Stephen, it has to be in your mouth as well. It has to be. It's not an option. It has to be in both places at the same time. The devil's a liar. He's a scammer. And he's trying to steal, kill, and destroy your faith. Remember Balaam and Balak? They tried to get him to curse the children of Israel. He says, I can't. I can't curse what God's blessed. But what happened? They went out there and got into idols and started doing all this stuff that was anti-God, and the curse came on them. They cursed themselves. The only way that could happen is if they did it themselves. Because he already knew they were blessed because God said they was blessed. And you can't curse what God's blessed, but you can yourself. You can curse yourself. That's saying negative things. That's contrary to truth of God's word. We are blessed because God says we are blessed. We have to have blessing coming out of our mouths at all times. That's why words are powerful. Words. The enemy will grab that, turn it against you. And then we want to blame the devil. You understand what I'm saying? But he's a liar. He's defeated. He's nothing. No, he is nothing. I taste and see that God is good. Amen? God has victory for us. We are more than overcomers. We are well able to possess our land. And God has equipped us for what he has for us. But we have to do it. We have to be diligent. We have to exercise this, and when you do, you will get that experience to where now you are wise and you recognize when opportunities come, you won't fall for the trap. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We are not going to fall for the trap. When you're speaking contrary, you've been scammed. The other day, I get this text on my phone, and it would say, Your card was just charged $980 at Kohl's. And it had this link. I was like, nope, that's a scam. Yeah. Commonwealth Credit Union. I said, that's a scam. And get this. It was a group text. I called Commonwealth Credit Union. I said, I know you didn't send this, but I'm just letting you know. Maybe you can put something out on your web. But this is a group text. It had several foldovers in there for all of us, man, to hit that link. She said, no. I said, yes. It's a group text. They were all phone numbers. But see, that's just like the devil. We're smarter than him. We got the Word of God inside of our heart. Amen. We are smarter than that. One of my clients got so scammed. I'm not kidding. She gave them all the information. She let them into her phone, everything. The whole works. Still trying to try to get it all straightened out. She fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. Scam. But when we're wise as serpents and innocent as doves, we're not going to fall for that trap. Amen? So when you're speaking contrary, being scammed to what you have released your faith for, your faith goes on pause. You can't be speaking, in other words, you can't be speaking healing and then out of that same mouth, blessing and cursing, you're talking about how bad you feel. I'm not saying you can't, don't get me wrong here, there's times where you have to talk. You understand? There's times, there's places, there's responsibilities. I'm not saying that. And you may have to, hey, Pastor Liz, this is what's going on, blah, blah, blah. Would you pray for me? Yes. And you move on about the day. I'm not going to go home after she's prayed for me, maybe over a healing or something like that, and then go, well, I didn't feel anything. I mean, I don't feel any different. I mean, I thought Pastor Liz was more anointed than that. Restraining order. No, Lord, I thank you. I'm putting a restraining order on my mouth. By his stripes, I'm healed. The anointing is flowing through my body from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I don't care how I feel. I don't care what it looks like in the name of Jesus. You speak life and health. There's power in your mouth all the time. There's a miracle. God's going to do that miracle in you. It may be a healing. He's going to do that miracle in you. But you can push the start button to get your faith cranking again when you recognize, you know what, I'm going to curse all those words I just said. You repent. That's not a weakness, people. That is not a weakness. It is okay to, God, I missed it there, man. God, I'm sorry. I command every one of those words to fall by the wayside. They'll not produce fruit in my life. And go on about your day. Stand in your righteousness. God, I thank you. We want to be skillful in righteousness, not unskillful. That means that you just don't have experience. But you can, the more you work this. Amen? Okay, so we did the D, diligence, exercise, experience. And let's go to the last one here. I'm not going to keep you long. Go with me to chapter 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, deep, D-E-E-P, diligence, exercise, experience, and perfect. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17 says, that the man of God may be perfect, and that means mature, thoroughly furnished unto every good works. The man of God, we could say the woman of God as well, may be perfect. We want to mature in this. Amen? Because it awaits us. All we have to do is work it. We have to be diligent with it. We got to exercise this thing, right? And when you miss it, you're getting experience, and then you're growing, and you're recognizing, hey, look, I miss it there. I gotta take care of that. Before you know it, that restraining order, man, it'll be off your mouth. You'll just know what to say, when to say it at the right time. It's not going to be this constant effort to where you're constantly going to have to do this thing. You understand what I'm saying? Because there's a maturity level that we grow into. I'm not saying the devil's not ever going to tempt you to do something like that. But you've got wisdom now. A man of wisdom, a cool spirit, will restrain his words. Amen? Jesus said this. Jesus said in John chapter 8, he said, I speak that which I have seen my Father, and you do that which you have seen of your Father. So Jesus is saying, I'm saying when I talk is what I see my Father do. Jesus had a lot of opportunities because people hated him. You understand what I'm saying? They hated him. He had plenty of opportunities as an opposition to where he could say something contrary to what God was saying, but he refused. He was diligent. Amen? There were opportunities where he didn't say anything at all. You don't have to answer everybody. You don't have to answer everybody. You really don't. Why do we feel like we have to do that? You don't have to answer everybody. You have to answer to God. That's who we answer to, is God. Jesus also said in John chapter 12, verse 49, for I have not spoken of myself. In other words, this isn't me, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. In other words, I'm not saying anything outside of what I feel like God is telling me to say. Amen? Do you believe we can live like that? Absolutely. God wouldn't put it in Scripture if it wasn't so. And the more diligent we are, the more we exercise this, the stronger we're going to become, the more experience we're going to have, and we're going to tap over into maturity, having a cool spirit in this thing. God has so much for us. But our faith is in two places at the same time. And in our heart, that's our spirit man. That's where faith abides. And deception, when we talk it, when we get deceived, if we're not refraining our lips, there's deception. It's contaminating our faith down there. It doesn't have that full expression. Amen? Go with me to James chapter 3, please. And I'll have them put it up in the Jubilee translations. It says, "For we all offend in many things. But if any man offends not in what? Word. Wait a minute. We can get to the place where we do not offend in any word? Wow. The same is a what? Perfect man. And he is able also to govern the whole body with what? Restraint. With restraint. That's powerful to me. I'm just like, okay, God. See, I like it when I get in Scripture and I am challenged. I like it when pastors minister and I'm challenged to go deeper and be better. Not that I'm works. You're just wanting this book to be who you are. And you have to work it. You have to be diligent. You have to exercise it. You have to get experience in this. Amen? We're being changed from glory to glory into his image. This is the mirror. This is who we are. We cannot say things against Scripture about ourselves or about other people. We have to leave all that stuff alone. We can't have opinions. Amen? We don't need opinions. I don't need an opinion. They always used to say, everybody has one. Well, I don't want one. If it don't line up with God's Scripture, now if somebody asks me something, I'm not talking about that. Realize what I'm talking about here. This is so important for manifestation. Amen? Let's look at this in the BBE translation. It says, if a man never makes a slip in his walk, in his talk. If a man never makes a slip in his talk. The Bible says to take the more earnest heed to the things that we've learned so that we will not let them what? When something slips, it slipped right through your hands. Slips away. If we never slip in our talk, oh, I'm sorry, that just slipped out. No, we got to get that out of there. It's in your heart. We got to get it out. Got to get it out. You understand what I'm saying? He will help us. Then he is a complete man, and he is able to keep all his body in control. Perfect maturity, and this is what we're after, is demonstrated when we can put a restraining order on our mouths. You get ready to say something? Nope. I'm not, nope. Lord, I thank you. I don't have to say that. Thank you, Lord. I choose life. I choose blessing. Thank you, Lord. You're using my mouth for miracles today. There's a miracle in my mouth for somebody. Miracles are coming my way. Today's the day. This is the day for miracles. So how do we do this? Amen. Really what I want to emphasize is the importance of getting this in here. Put the word in, put the word in, put the word in, pray in the Holy Ghost. Put the word in, put the word in, put the word in, and pray in the Holy Ghost. See, we have the Holy Ghost on the inside of us who is what? Our helper. The Holy Spirit will help you. We cannot ignore that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us to help us. This is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. He's there to help us. And when you, it takes humility to say, you know what, God, I need help in this area. You know, I've missed it there. I've missed it more than I'm comfortable with. So help me, whatever it is. If I need more word, then I'm going to put the word in, put the word in, put the word in, pray in the Holy Ghost. See, praying in the Holy Ghost builds yourself up on your most holy faith and what? Keeping you in the love of God. The most holy faith. Vocal holiness is not only what's said, but it's what's not said. Vocal holiness. It's what's said, but it's also what's not said. You don't have to say everything you know. You don't have to tell everything that you know. Oh, did you know about so-and-so? This is what they do in the world. I know I'm talking to people that are mature, right? But this stuff happens, Pastor Liz. You know what happened to so-and-so? No, I don't know what happened to so-and-so. I'm determined not to know anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When you're walking in a miracle, don't get distracted. Because that's what the enemy wants. He wants to distract you. You must yield to the Holy Spirit, and He will check you when you begin to say the wrong things. That's if you have been spending time in the Word. Putting the Word in, put the Word in, put the Word in, praying in the Holy Ghost. He is our helper. He is on the inside of us there for that very reason. To help us put a straining order when it's necessary. Amen? Amen? Speaking in tongues is a gift of the Holy Spirit, is it not? And we can do it all the time, all day long, anytime we want to. He is there to help us. And we're praying the perfect prayer. Amen? You're not going to mess it up when you're praying in the Holy Ghost. But holding your tongue, restraining order, is a fruit of your spirit. That's where love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance take place. That's where it is. They're anointings that's on the inside of us. It will help us. The Word of God will constrain us. Amen? When you strengthen your spirit, what's happening at the same time is flesh gets weakened. So when you're focused, I'm going to strengthen my spirit, man. And the way you do that, you put the Word in, the Word in, the Word in, and you pray in the Holy Ghost. Word in, Word in, Word in, and pray in the Holy Ghost. I remember when I started cosmetology school. I was in service almost every night. I was working from 4 o'clock in the morning to 12 o'clock. I would leave and go to school from 1 to 9. My whole world was rocked because I was used to a whole lot of time in the Word, in the Word, in the Word, and praying in tongues. And when I went to my pastor, I was like, whew. He said, look, Debbie, you take advantage of every opportunity that you have in your car. Because when this is over, 9 months later, but I had been praying in tongues, putting the Word in for years up until this point. I was on overload. I was a word hoarder. I was putting that all into my spirit. And He knew that I would be fine because of the preparation before. God knew I was going to go to cosmetology school, and he knew what my schedule was going to be like. Amen? So you may think, I don't have time for this, this, and this. I listen to the audio Bible. I like to dramatize, man. God's voice is amazing. When you're really diligent and when you want to exercise this and get experience in it, you will find ways to feed your spirit and strengthen your spirit. Because as you do that, the soul, the flesh weakens. All of that weakens as you are developing and growing and strengthening your spirit man. Amen? Because this is the thing. Whatever we're full of is what's going to come out. But if you get full of the Word of God, see, this Word, when it's deposited, Mark chapter 4, into our heart, if there's things in there that doesn't need to be in there, then the Word of God is more powerful than anything that the devil has put in there. The Word of God is more powerful, and it will destroy the works of the devil. Amen? Did y'all get anything out of that?
Cozy in there, just having a fun time drawing on this. So, we're finished. Are we finished already? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all get your miracle? Because you get your miracle in your soul concerning the power of your words. You're unstoppable. Things are happening for you. And God does, he's doing a miracle in us today concerning words, okay? So that when that is happening, that's happening. This is a good day not to talk, but to draw on just getting, get, you know, what I've been in Psalm 119 lately. Just drawing on that word. And it's doing a miracle in my soul. And so that when you speak, your speech is with grace. Your speech is with God's ability to live and function in the gifts and callings. And when you let no corrupt communication, natural talk, you let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but only such a word is as good for edifying that it may minister, grace to the hearer. You are releasing a miracle out of your mouth, giving someone else God's ability gift to connect with their miracle.